Not by my power, not by my might, right? Not by any of our power or any by our might, but by His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit this morning. Praise God. You know, that's an awesome and exciting word for each one of us this morning. It doesn't depend on any one of us, but it depends on the Holy Spirit. And that's where our trust, our hope, and our confidence lies, right? You know, I know that it's the Christmas season, and sometimes that can be a tough time of year. It's supposed to be a joyous, the most joyous time of the year, right? But sometimes the world has pressures, you know, to finish, you know, projects at work, to actually, you know, go out there and get presents and gifts for family members, and, you know, to get the house done, to get the food all in, spending more money than we normally do, right? All those are pressures that the world actually does push on us, and there's nothing we can really do about it. You don't want to just be bah humbug and walk away from the entire thing. But at the same time, we can't lose sight of what the season is actually all about, right? That even through all that, let us continue to keep and maintain our focus on Jesus Christ, right? And what it is that Jesus did for us, right? And as we look this morning, you know, what the Lord was really putting upon my heart was that this is to be an uplifting message, right? And not just to look at what Jesus did at the cross in relieving us of our sin debt, right? But He gave us a gift. Right, and we've been talking all year about about proclaiming and magnifying the Lord, right? And I hope at this point that you've come up with new ways to magnify and proclaim the Lord in your daily walk, right? And we've been talking about the Magnificat, the magnificence of God, right? And this month we're talking about from on high. And Jesus gave us a gift. He left us with a gift from on high. He left us with the Holy Spirit, right? So the title of the message today is going to be The Holy Ghost Cometh, right? And, you know, that's such an important message for all of us that sometimes we can lose sight of it. We can lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit is God among us right now. Jesus walked the earth and did His ministry work for 33 years and then went to the cross and actually accomplished the work of salvation for each and every one of us at the cross. He left the Holy Spirit to actually continue that work, to work in and through us, to cause us to come from image to image and glory to glory. And we're going to look at that this morning as we go through the scriptures. But we'll just open up with a word of prayer first and allow the Lord to minister. Father God, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You this morning. We thank You for getting each one of us here, Lord. We just ask, Lord God, that You would just minister powerfully Your word, Father God, that You would show us Your heart's desire this morning for each and every one of us, Lord God, that You would hide me this morning, Lord, that You would minister the word effectively and powerfully, Father God, through me, that I would be a vessel in your hands, Father God, that Your Holy Spirit would just bring forth Your wish, Your desire, Your plans and purposes for this very message in our lives. We thank You, Lord. We give You all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So as we go through this, we're going to go start off with the book of Acts. What better place to start than in the book of Acts, right? Where we really see the power and might of the Holy Spirit, right? So in Acts 1 through 11, it says, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach." Ooh. "Until the day when He was taken up to heaven, after He had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom He had chosen. To these He also presented Himself alive after His suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, 'You heard from Me.' For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time You are restoring the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven." So as I was reading this and I was pondering on this as the Lord was re-ministering to me, I can just imagine how the disciples felt, right? Jesus, who was the Messiah. They came to understand that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who was to come and liberate Israel from all of their tyranny, right? All of their hardships and all of the Roman persecution, right? But then Jesus died, you know? And I'm sure, like, you know, we think we read this in a historical manner, but if we're living it, it's a whole different perspective, right? Then Jesus comes back from the dead, which is a whole other mind-blowing experience for them, right? And then he spends 40 days, you know, reassuring them of his plans and purposes for them, and then leaves again in a way that's very apparent to them. So I can't even imagine. He tells them that he's going to give them the Holy Spirit. I don't know if they knew what the Holy Spirit was at that point, if they fully understood the measure of what he meant by that. But at the same time, here they knew historically that when the leader of any of these movements died or left, that the movement fell apart, right? And we know that from history that they were even being sought after to be persecuted, right? The Jews put Jesus to death, and if they continued, I'm sure they would look to do the same to them, right? So there's a fear that came over them, right? But yet, Jesus left them with this promise, right? And he went up into heaven, right? And he allowed them to actually, you know, just to either trust in what Jesus was saying to them or revert to fear, right? And you know, so many of us, we hear a word from God, or we hear a message from God, we hear a calling from God in our lives, right? And when we first hear it, we may even see evidences of that calling. We may even see God showing us things that confirm the calling he has in our lives. But then all of a sudden, the evidences start to disappear, and we are left to trust. We're left to walk that out. And where do we turn? Do we turn to the Holy Spirit? And I want to encourage you this morning that this is, as we go through this, we'll see that that's all we need to do, is turn and look to the Holy Spirit, just as they were instructed to go and wait for this gift that Jesus was going to give them from on high, right? So then we go here and we see that in Acts 1:12 through 14, it says that they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So again, we know there's about 120 people in this upper room, right? And they're waiting on what Jesus had promised them, right? How many times do we receive a word from the Lord? And as we're praying, as we're coming before the Lord, we receive or hear a word from God, and we hear that word, we pray over for maybe a week, maybe a couple of days, maybe even a couple of hours or minutes even, you know? And we receive this word, and now we're asked to wait on the actual fulfillment of that word. But we grow weary in waiting. We grow tired in waiting. But we see here, as the disciples had heard that message from Jesus, they went to the upper room and they continued, all of one mind, all of one accord, and were praying unto God and waiting on this Holy Spirit that was supposed to come upon them, right? And, you know, that's the same thing for us. We have to be able to, we've gotten so used to a fast food type of environment that we ask God for something, and before he can even give us instruction as to how long or the duration that he desires for us to be in prayer over it or pondering over it, next thing we're up and we're walking away already. We haven't even heard God's actual answer to that prayer. And then we turn around and we say, well, obviously God doesn't care about my life, you know? But the truth of the matter is that we haven't actually stopped and waited to hear. We haven't lingered before God to hear exactly what God wants to do in that situation, right? And this is a good, you know, an encouraging word for us, because that shows us it doesn't depend on my getting up and trying to fabricate a result. It takes me sitting before God and saying, Lord, you see what's going on in my life. You see the situation. And even though I don't see the answer right now, I'm going to continue with you. I'm going to continue to labor in your presence. I'm going to continue to seek out what it is that you will do, that you will show me through the very same Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the same person that was there and then as is there now. It's there's no difference. He hasn't diminished. He hasn't lessened in value. He's the same person then as he is now, right? And his desire is the same for each and every one of us. His desire is that we would spend time before him and hear, not just come in with a quick request and then be on our way, or even hear a word and then plan to do it our way. But no, come before the Lord and let the Lord be the one, let the Holy Spirit be the one to show us, guide us, and direct us with each step, right? And I love this then, because when the day of Pentecost had come, this is the day they were waiting for. They didn't realize what day it would be, but when this day came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. There's more left, but I just want to kind of pause here for a second. That as they're all in one place, all of one accord, all of one mindset, not really understanding what is to come, but they're waiting because they know that Jesus told them to sit and wait on this promise of the Holy Spirit. So they're sitting there, now the Holy Spirit comes upon them, right? And they start speaking in tongues, right? Now, I can't imagine what that was like for them, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, I'm sure that they started to understand now the actual Holy Spirit welling up in them and now starting to emanate from them, right? Every one of us here, any one of us who are saved, who has actually experienced the actual, you know, the move of the Holy Spirit, knows what that feels like. It may have been a while since you've experienced it, but every one of us can recall when we experienced the very move of the Holy Spirit in our situation. And you know, that was an exciting time for us. And I believe this should be an exciting message, because this is a message that's going to show us how to get back to that place. It's so easy to get caught up in the actual, as the video said, the pragmatism, right? In getting in the you know, making religion or making Christianity work, right? Or the doing of the activities of Christianity, right? But if the Holy Spirit is the one welling up in us and overflowing from us, now there's an excitement, now there's a drive that we don't even really fully understand. We can't even control, but we'll have an excitement. We won't have to worry about what we're going to say, but there'll be an excitement behind what we're saying, because the Holy Spirit will be the one ministering through us, right? Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, and the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each of them were hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galatians? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Now, I love this, because not only did God do a work in the apostles, right? And then Peter speaking in tongues. Peter wasn't speaking many languages. He was speaking in tongues. And everybody else was hearing in their own language. So God did a miracle on the hearing ears of the people. And that's an encouraging word for us, because even as we go out, we may think, well, I don't know what to say. I'm not versed in this. I'm not versed in that. I don't have what it takes to minister the gospel message. You don't need to. You know, here is evidence right here that God can affect the hearing of the person you are speaking to. And the very words that now the Holy Spirit is inspiring you to say, as you say them, he will cause them to be heard and known afresh by that person. Because it's only the Holy Spirit who can affect make a true effect on the hearts and the minds of men. It's the Holy Spirit who woos. It's the Holy Spirit who draws. His job is to glorify the Father, glorify the Son, right? And his desire is that as we come before him, as we sit in our prayer closet, as we sit and just envelop ourselves in the presence of God, now the Holy Spirit will well up in us. That as the Holy Spirit wells up in us and starts to actually give us the words to say, now he will also affect the hearing of those who actually hear it. And now there'll be an excitement, not just on your part, but there'll be excitement on other people's parts also. I didn't say this in the first service, but there was one particular time I was out doing street evangelism in Middletown. And, you know, we were doing Way of the Master. And Way of the Master can be an abrupt message at times, because your first approach is, well, do you think you're a good person? That's how you start out the conversation. And some people can take an offense that, I guess. But this one person, he was walking down the street. I didn't realize he was on a phone. He was just a big guy, you know, an intimidating guy. But the Holy Spirit said, go ask him. So I was like, all right. So I said, do you think you're a good person? And he just, excuse me? I was like, uh-oh. You know, the very first thing he goes, you know what? He goes, if you could answer this question for me, then we can have a conversation. And already I started praying. I was like, Lord, I don't know what this question is going to be, but you need to give me the answer now, you know? But as he asked, he goes, listen, I've got, you know, he says, you know, I'll continue this conversation with you. If you can explain to me, if there's one church or one Jesus, right? And all these churches have all these different messages, all these different denominations. Why is there such confusion? Or why is there so many different denominations in the church? I was like, wow, that's a big question, you know. And even as he was saying it, I was, you know, praying to the Lord. And the Lord just said to him, Lord really said it to me, as almost as if I could hear him saying. He said, ask him if he's got children. I said, well, you got kids? He goes, yeah, I got four kids. And then the Holy Spirit said, well, ask. This is really the way it was going. He said, ask him, do they all listen to the same music? And I'm like, where am I going? I even say, like, where am I going with this, you know? But I said, do they all listen to the same music? He goes, oh wow. And he, like, all of a sudden it just clicked, and I and he was like, wow, I never even thought it. Yeah, and he starts just going through the whole thing in his head. He says, hold on, I'll call you back. And he hangs up the phone, and we ended up having like a 10 or 15 minute conversation. But I would never have thought that would have ended up that way. But the Holy Spirit took his timing, used words that I didn't even know I had, you know what I'm saying? And affected how he heard them and how he received them. And this is what's going on here. This is the exact same thing that's going on. It's the exact same thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do today. So allow the Holy Spirit that freedom, that access to your heart, to your mind, to your actual life. So that as you walk, as you talk, as you speak, as you go out there, that he can use anything to move the hearts and minds of men, right? So here it is. These are all where everybody was from. Parthians, right? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. These were all the different nations that were hearing one voice in all these different languages, right? So if the Holy Spirit can do that for them, he can do the exact same thing for each and every one of us today, right? And again, from Pamphylia, Egypt, and all these different places, right? Cretans and Arabs. So we were hearing them all in our own tongues. They were hearing them all in their own tongues, right? And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to another, what does this mean? And that's the same question that people will start to begin to ask themselves. I guarantee you, that guy went away saying, wow, I wonder what just happened there. You know what I'm saying? That was not the type of conversation he was ready to have, even just by his demeanor. That wasn't the conversation he wanted to have. But God did something in his heart. God did something in his life. And I'm sure for every one of us, even as we came into salvation, that's how we came to salvation. God reached a portion of our heart. He pricked our heart with a message that rang true. And now we say, well, what can that mean? How come? And then he started to give us another message. He started to poke holes in those walls, and the light started to come through, and our eyes started to become open. And that's the same thing for each and every one of us. And for anyone who's on the line today, or anyone who's here, and you haven't made that commitment to Jesus, if you haven't met that commitment to Jesus, I urge you, listen to this message and see, because it's the Holy Spirit desire. God desires that none would perish, right? We all know that scripture verse, right? But the Holy Spirit is God. So the Holy Spirit does not desire any to perish, right? So his desire is to reach every person, and his desire is to do it through us. So that's an encouraging word for each and every one of us. As we go through this time where the enemy will try and put pressure on us, put chaos in households, where even when we meet different family members, sometimes that's enough to cause chaos, right? In an event, right? But God wants us focused. He wants us focused. And how can we be an impact during not just this time, but always? When we take it this time to stop and kind of contemplate on who Jesus is, who Jesus was, what he accomplished. And this is part of what Jesus accomplished. He left us the Comforter. He left us the Holy Spirit, right? For this exact purpose. Because Jesus knew what we would need. He knew that we would need someone to continue that work, because he knew the frailty of man, right? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. And this will happen too. We have to be prepared that even as the Holy Spirit speaks to people, they will not hear the message that even the Holy Spirit is trying to minister to them, right? But we have to be prepared for that. We can just walk on. Don't get in an argument. Don't try and win a theological debate. That is not what's going to bring someone to the gospel message. But as you're leaving, keep that prayer in your heart. Lord, send someone else. Lord, that someone else might reach them. That you may use someone else that has a similar experience, whatever it may be. But Lord, do not let this person perish. And let that be our heart. Not feeling a disgruntled, not feeling that we were not good enough, not feeling condemned because we couldn't reach this person. Because we can't reach anybody. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to do the reaching. And that's a huge load off each one of our shoulders. We don't have to worry about it. We just have to show up. We just have to show up and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. But the problem is that we have to, not the problem, but the piece, the caveat to that is that we have to be in that place of praying before the Lord, seeking God, creating that relationship with God, so that when we do come there, we are sensitive to the actual move of the Holy Spirit. Because as the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing us, if we're not sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, every other voice will crowd that out. Every other voice will be the voice we'll hear. There'll be confusion. Was that the Holy Spirit? Was that the Holy Spirit? Was that the Holy Spirit? And for a finish, we won't know which actual direction to take. So as we move forward in this, we need to just that's the sum total of what we as Christians need to do. Come before God. Sit before God. Allow God to minister to you. Read the Word of God. Read it so you can come to know who the Father is, who God is, right? Because this Word, it says it cannot be physically discerned, right? Carnally discerned, right? But it has to be spiritually discerned. So the person who wrote this book is the Holy Spirit. The person who interprets this book is the Holy Spirit. So as we read this from Genesis all the way to Revelation, at any point, God can minister exactly what he wants to minister to us through this living word. So just open up your Bible. Don't read it as a chore. Don't read it as something you have to do because you're a Christian. Read it because you want to know who your daddy is. Read it because you want to know what God has to say to you, how he wants to use you, how you can start to understand God more, how you can be a part of the work that God is doing in this world, right? And here, in John 14 and 16, just so we know that there's no argument, I just want to make sure it's scripturally based as I'm saying this, right? John 14, 16 through 18, it says, "And I will pray the Father," this is Jesus speaking, right? "And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." And the reason I was struggling a little bit to read that there is in the King James, but the reason I wrote in the King James is because it says the comforter, it's translated the comforter in the King James. Some of the others don't translate the comforter, but as I was looking up, the word that was used by all translations is the same word, right? The comforter in the Old Testament was Nasham, right? Or Naham, right? It's a primitive root, proper to sigh, to empathize, to go there with someone, to actually give them comfort through their time in need, right? And, and if we look at the New Testament, it's the Parakletos, right? Which is also comforter translated, and every one of them write the same. Every translation, or the original Greek was the actual Parakletos. Some translated comforter, some translated counselor, advocate, whatever, right? But for each and every one of us, the comforter comes beside us. Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. So in our time of need, when our time of stress, our time of difficulty, right? The Holy Spirit will come alongside us and he will comfort us. Not a comforter that is a poo-poo kind of comforter. And he won't come along and feel sorry with us get into a pity party with us. But he will be our comforter. In other words, he'll drag us up and set us back on our path, right? He'll do it gently. He'll do it convictingly, or and he'll do it with a certain amount of force, even, you know, to actually cause us to get out of that, because that is not something that is good for us, right? So again, I just wanted to really draw attention to that, that Jesus said that while he was here, right, he walked among us, but when he was leaving, he would send us the Comforter, right? And his Comforter, right, is the one who's going to teach us all things, right? So as we go into Romans, right, and we see why is that so important? Why is that critical to us as Christians? That we fully understand not just what Jesus did for us, but who the Holy Spirit is today in our lives, in each and every day in our lives. You know, it's something that we've kind of lost sight of. You know, I know it's in almost every message, and there's a lot of messages about the Holy Spirit, but you know, somehow we still lose sight of the very power, the very presence, the very effectiveness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? Because even as we walk through this life, you know, how is it that we still can become discouraged? How is it that we can still become, you know, have that pity party about our situation, right? But if we truly believed, if we truly understood that which Jesus gave us, this gift, who is God in us, who is ready to clean up all our sin from the inside out, right? Who is ready to renew our mind, who's ready to, you know, have the words that we speak be actually anointed of him, right? All of this stuff, if we truly understood that, that would be a place of excitement for us, right? And I'm really emphasizing that, because I'm not getting the sense that you're as excited as I am about this, you know? because I think this is shower. This is not just shower. This is something to really get excited about, you know what I'm saying? That the Holy Spirit is doing this, you know what I'm saying? In each and every one of us. And the reason it's important is because if we try to do this on our own, we'll end up with religion. We'll end up with a dry work. We'll end up where it's laborious. We'll end up where Christianity is, oh man, I can't keep doing this. But if we are saturated in the presence of God, if the Holy Spirit is the one we're looking to, if the Holy Spirit is alive within us, there'll be an excitement. There'll be a joy. There'll be peace. There'll be love. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying? These are things that we can't imitate. Yes, we can experience them at times on a carnal level, but we can't imitate the joy, the love, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness in all situations. We just can't do it. It's because it's the Holy Spirit's fruit, not ours. And we need to be filled to overflowing. We need to be baptized in the very Holy Spirit so that just emanates from us. That even when we want to have a different response, the Holy Spirit will come and arrest our very person and cause us to operate in a different way. You know what I'm saying? I've had that happen more often than not, where I want to respond a certain way, and that's my flesh rising up. But the Holy Spirit will cause that, just whatever it is, that moment in time, right? And allow you to experience the peace that he has for us, right? So as we go through Romans 8, 1 through 4 here, but as we go through all of chapter 8, we'll see, you know, Paul here is saying therefore, right? But if you look at chapter 7, Paul was struggling with this sin that was in his life, right? He was struggling like, oh, the things I want to do, I cannot do, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, you know, and he was talking about this sin that's in his members, right? Every one of us experience the same thing. Sometimes we look at Paul and we're like, well, what could Paul really have been struggling with? Look at everything that he did. But we can't give the actual credit to Paul. We give the credit to the Holy Spirit. Paul was submitted to the Holy Spirit, right? Because at the end of 7, right, his mind goes right to, who can rescue me from this body of death? And he realizes that the only one who can is Jesus, right? And that's the same thing for each and every one of us. And any one of you who are saved, any one of you who are in the kingdom, that are in the family of God, right? That's the same situation for you. You can sit there and say, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, I'm struggling. The thing I don't want to do is what I end up doing. Lord, oh, wretched man that I am. Yes. Yes, wretched man, wretched woman that you are, right? But God has saved you by the power of Jesus Christ. And he is continuing to regenerate you by the power of the Holy Spirit. His desire is to use you. And that should be the joy. That should be the excitement that we have about the Christian life. The Christian life should not be a dreary walk through life. The Christian walk should be love, joy, peace, patience. All this stuff should just be emanating from us. And if it's not, not that we have to work harder, we just have to sit longer. We have to sit longer with the, in the source of that per, of that power, of that of the source of the relationship, everything that we now will be walking in that. You know, it says walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? Because the flesh, at some level, is always with us. Even though the fleshly desires are being put to death, right? The Holy Spirit is cleaning us, right? But we still will have that draw on us, right? There's a difference between actually, you know, doing something out of self-control and being delivered from something. When you're delivered for something, it no longer has a hold on you. It no longer has an enticement for you, right? You're free of it. You have no desire after it. You could look at it and just whatever, and just walk right away from it. But if there's still a sinly, fleshly desire that you're using self-control, when you're weak, when you're tired, when you're hungry, when you're angry, you're going to fall right back into that thing. So we need the Holy Spirit to deliver us from these things. And that's his job. That's exactly what he wants to do. Not that it's his job per se, but that's what he wants to do. You know, that's exactly what his desire is. Let's put, that's a better way of saying it. Because his desire is to cause us to have a joyous walk before him. Our joy is our strength. You know, our joy is our strength, right? Well, where do we find that joy? So it's not our joy, it's the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit that is our strength, right? And we have to have that to walk this Christian walk. So it says, so with all that in mind, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So for all of you here this morning, all of you online, there is now no condemnation for you. I'm going to just let that sink in for a minute, because there's no longer, you may feel conviction, but you are no longer condemned by sin. You are no longer condemned by even the sin that is still existing in your members, right? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is praise, that is shout worthy. That should be enough to give us joy each and every day, that we have been rescued, oh wretched man that I am. You know, I have been liberated from this body of death, right? But it continues on, right? And it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death, right? For what the law could not do, as weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's awesome. As I was reading this, I was just starting to get joy, because he condemned that which should condemn me. Right? God condemned that which should condemn me. Right? So now I no longer have to struggle, have to strive with that. But when I see, you know, there should be a desire now to live according to the precepts of God, to live in a way that will just, you know, that will be pleasing to my Father, right? Because I realize all this, right? And now when I see things that are not of him, I will want not to do these things. I will struggle like Paul struggled. Things I don't want to do, I do. Lord, you got to rescue me from this. And God says, yes, I have rescued you from the condemnation of that. The Holy Spirit now will bring conviction and start to cleanse you of all of those things. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's the key piece right here, right? We must walk according to the Spirit. And how do you walk according to the Spirit? I mean, that question is, the only way to walk according to the Spirit is to have the Holy Spirit alive and thriving and well in us. That we are sensitive to his voice, we are sensitive to his movement, we are sensitive to him saying, no, don't do that, no, go do this. No, don't say that, say this. You know what I'm saying? Or even when we don't even know, just open our mouth and allow the Holy Spirit to speak, you know? These are all the things that we have to walk in so that all the rest will start to become normal for us. We will actually have joy. We will actually have release. We will actually have freedom and liberty to walk as one who is not under condemnation. Right? But as long as we, if we're not actually walking that, the devil will do a good job of pinpointing every sin you commit, every failing you have, every flaw you have. The enemy will continue to repeat that in your ear. And then we'll forget that God has said, I have condemned that in you. That is no longer you. I've already condemned that in you. Right? And we can walk free of that, right? And it goes on here and says in Romans 5:8, 5-8, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And once again, we stay in the same thing, that we have to have our minds set on the Spirit. And how do you have your mind set in the Spirit? Get into the presence of God. Look for the Holy Spirit wherever it is you are. Look for a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Continue and ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do here? What should I do there? Let's not make decisions for ourselves just based on decision-making state, right? But ask God, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? And I guarantee you that God will answer you. You know, but we... So many times God answers us and we don't even hear because we're not sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We hear all these different thoughts coming into our heads. But we have to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that one small voice that is the voice of the Holy Spirit will be audible if you're sensitive to it, right? For the mindset in the flesh is death, but the mindset in the Spirit is life and peace. How many here want life and peace? Right? You know, a peaceful life, right? That's what everybody says, I just want a peaceful life, right? But he's saying that if you walk according to the Spirit, be sensitive to the Spirit, yes, we will have life and peace, right? Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And we all know that to be true. Every one of us, before we got saved, we can look back and we were hostile towards God. You know, every one of us were doing things and even using the Lord's name in vain and bragging on it, you know what I'm saying? Almost feeling like it was a right or we were entitled to, right? We were hostile to God, but we now see that in other people. We can't be condemning of that. Jesus didn't even come, that did not come to condemn the world, right? The world is already condemned, right? But Jesus came to save every person. The Holy Spirit's desire is that all would be saved. He desired to use us, the church, the children of God, to actually be the vessels of that salvation, right? And those who are in the flesh cannot please God, right? Romans 8:9-11 says, however, you are not in the flesh. This is you. This is me. This is all of you online, right? You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. You know, so as we're seeking after the Lord, as you're continuing to seek after the leading and the desiring and the unction of the Holy Spirit, you will know that the Holy Spirit is alive in you, because you will start to feel the Holy Spirit start to rise up in you. You will have a yearning after that. And the more we do it, the more that yearning will be. The more we present ourselves before God, the stronger that desire becomes. The stronger we want to see others being saved. The stronger we want to see a change, but not by force, not by might, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, right? So as we do this, and as we allow the Holy Spirit free reign and full reign in our lives, we will actually start to have an excitement that even goes beyond our ability to comprehend or understand, right? It's as if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness, right? And that Spirit is a small s. So that's your Spirit, my Spirit, right? So he's not even saying that the Holy Spirit, but if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit, your Spirit is alive. So if you're sitting here today and you start to feel a draw from this message, that you start to feel that the Holy Spirit is drawing, that is your Spirit alive in Christ. And that is praiseworthy, that is shoutworthy, that is something that you should be excited about. That is not just ho-hum, that's not every day. That is shoutworthy, that is praiseworthy, and we should be pursuing after that, seeking to strengthen that, seeking to feel that all the more, to be even sure of that, to be led by that even all the more, right? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and I love this, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, K capitalist who dwells in you. So even though your body is dead because of sin, he says that now, even now, right, the Holy Spirit will start, even as he raised Christ from the dead, he will start to bring that mortal body back to life. Right? You will no longer desire after these sinful things. You will no longer be trapped by the things of this world. You will no longer be trapped by sin. You'll start to feel yourself desiring after the things of God, wanting after the things of God, no longer desiring those things that are sinful. Even you may stumble on them, you may fall, but you will not want to stay there. And now the awesome thing about this is that the Holy Spirit will do this for you. He will start to even bring your mortal body back to life. You will actually start to change the desires of your heart. That you will desire after the things of God, right? This is not me saying this. This is the Holy Spirit pinning this to you as he's saying it to the Roman church even back then, right? That this is God's promise to us from on high. Right? The Holy Spirit, he has left us the Holy Spirit. He's left us the Comforter. He's left us the Advocate. He's left us the Intercessor so that work would be done in us. Because we are not able to do that work for ourselves. We are not able to do that work for ourselves. But just as the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, right? He can also give life to our mortal bodies. You can start to feel energy in just your actual physical body, right? And we can actually want to, and not just that, but have the energy to actually do the things that God is calling us to do, right? And Romans 8, 12 through 18, so he says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So once again, As we come before the Lord, as we sit and God starts to bring conviction upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit starts to convict us of these ways that are of the flesh, right? Our desires, our very desires will want to be after that. So it's no longer a point of futility. We can't say, well, I can't do that. I smoked for many years. I thought I would never stop smoking, right? I used to kind of kid myself saying, well, there's nothing really in the Bible that talks about smoking, right? It's one of those last things. It's really benign. But the Lord started to bring conviction upon my heart about smoking. And he brought it so heavy that I just couldn't continue smoking. You know what I'm saying? But you know, and some people, it's like that, and he just delivers you from it. You know, I'm a little more stubborn, I guess you could say, a lot of things. So the Lord has to really, you know, work it out in me, right? But the awesome thing is that even if you are stubborn, the Lord will not allow you to remain there. As we continue to come before God, as we continue to sit in his presence, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that Comforter that we're talking about, not the nice blanket, but the Comforter, right? He will actually bring us through, and he will start to purge us of these things that are not good for us. Even despite our own arguments, even despite our own desires, he'll start to change the desires of our heart, right? For all those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. You are sons and daughters of God. That is awesome. That is so exciting. That is so, like, that, and just to continue to ponder on that, right? You are sons and daughters of God. The very God who spoke this entire universe into existence, who said, let there be light. And yeah, there was a big bang, because light came into the world, you know what I'm saying? But yes, so if there is a big bang, that was the only big bang that I would consider, when light just emerged from God's mouth, right? That was caused some sort of a bang, right? But then he brought order to everything else, right? So yes, that God, that is your daddy. That is your father. And his desire is that every aspect of your life, not that he would control you like a puppeteer, but that he would be involved in every aspect of your life, and that he would walk it out with us, that he would live it out with us, that he would actually do the work in us so that we would become truly desiring after everything and even free of this bondage of the flesh, right? For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, which we cry out, Abba. Abba, Daddy. Daddy, you know, it's not this far off God, as we all Father God, or you know, this awesome God in the sky, or this awesome big power source somewhere, you know what I'm saying, that we can draw from. This is your daddy. He wants to be involved. He wants to watch you do a ridiculous painting and put it up on the fridge and say, oh, look what my son did, right? You know, this is the things that we do, but we forget that this is the relationship God wants to have with us. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. Where we do these things and God's like, wow, he's proud of us. He wants us to know that relationship. It's not this sterile thing. It's this relationship that he wants to invest in. He has done everything that he can. He gave his son. His son left the Holy Spirit, right? So he gave his son to free us from sin. Then he left the Holy Spirit, right? To actually be the one who rids us of sin. Rids us of the desire after sin. So everything that he's done, so he has done everything he can. He just wants us to actively participate and sit before him and spend time in his presence and rest in him and allow him to actually get us to that place where we're saying, Daddy, Abba, Father, right? The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, right? The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Are you feeling that this morning? That is your spirit testifying with the Holy Spirit, right? And that is shout-worthy. That is praise-worthy. There is something in you. You may even be looking to kind of, you know, you may not be in a place where you're fully, you know, engaged in that. But there is something in you that recognizes exactly the words that are being said right now. And God wants you to invest in that. The Spirit of God is in you. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God, the Lord, the God of God, the Lord of Lords. That is your identity. He just wants you to come home and say, I'm here, Daddy. Let's work this out. Right? And he will do the work in you. He just wants you to sit before him. He wants you to learn from him. He wants you to glean from him. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness. He's going to give you all of that. You don't even have to work for it, right? He will give you all of that, and that will be yours, right? We just have to sit at our Father's feet, sit at Daddy's feet and say, Daddy, show me, right? If children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So don't let the sufferings of this present time dampen your enthusiasm. Don't let the worries, there's so many worries out there. You look around, it's just all over the place. Right? From finances to, you know, an escalation, we could say, in sin. I don't believe there's any escalation in sin. Sin has always been there, ever since Adam and Eve, right? We've just invented new ways of committing those sins, right? But the sin has always been there, right? Don't let that trouble you. Come and sit before God and say, Lord, how do you want to use me in this situation? How do you want to use me to impact this sin that's before me? How do you want to impact the sin? How do you even want to get rid of the sin that's in me, right? How do you want to use me in this? And let the Lord work all that out. All we have to do is sit in his presence and allow him to cleanse us and purge us of all unrighteousness, right? And in Romans 8, 24, 28, and I love this. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for, right? again, within the King James. But if we hope for what we see, for we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Again, the modern English, I guess, would say there that if we're hoping after something, right? But we've already seen it. I think back to a time when my son Holly was very young, right? He asked Bridget one time, I think, for a water gun, right? Or a water soaker or whatever it was, a toy. And Bridget said yes. And if you had seen the way he behaved afterwards, you swear she just gave it to him right there, right? But that's hope revealed, you know what I'm saying? That's hope realized. Like, he didn't even have it yet, but the hope was there, you know? But that's how God wants us to be, you know? That he has that hope for us. We should be excited about that, right? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I love that, Because how many times are you in a situation? How many times are you frustrated by a situation and all you can do is, that's a prayer before God. That is what this is saying. That is a prayer before God. The Holy Spirit hears that groaning and says, Lord, this is what he's saying. You know, and he brings that tangibly to God. And now that prayer is delivered to the Father, right? So, yes, groan before God. Yes. You know, in those circumstances, God doesn't need tangible words. He already sees our hearts. He knows what's going on. But as we bring forth this groaning enough, right? That in itself is our cry to God, knowing that only God can deliver us from this thing, right? That we can use all the eloquent words we want, but a simple is enough, right? Just to set for God, say, I'm frustrated by this thing. I don't know what to do. And you can go on and, you know, be Shakespeare about the whole thing. But all God hears at the end of it all is, you know, that frustration, right? So let the Holy Spirit interpret that and bring that before God, right? And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes. You are called according to his purposes. So everything you face, right? It says all things work to the good. We may look at something and say, there's nothing good in this, right? But God is saying that all things work for the good. He didn't say all things are good. He said all things work for the good, right? So if there's something in your life that you're struggling with, that you're, you know, about, God is working it to the good in your life. He's causing that frustration in you so that you want to abandon it. So you don't want to walk in anymore, right? All these things, God is working to the good for each and every one of us. And to me, that's an exciting thing. Because no matter what I face, no matter what situation I'm in, I can sit before God and say, Lord, I trust. My hope is complete in that you have this. You have this securely handled on my part, but I will continue to come before you. I'll continue to come before you to get instruction, to get love, to get joy, to get peace, to get all these things that I need that I don't have, right? And here, I'm going to close it out with this, right? And I love this because in 1 Peter 1, 3-9, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So just as we said from the start, you were born again, right? You were born again, right? And, you know, this is not me, but I've seen this, and like we said, the way of the Mass or whatever, you come to some people and you say, oh, have you been born again? They're like, yes, I've had many lives, you know? This is not the born again we're talking about. I'm talking about where Jesus has given us a rebirth, right? We are dead to sin. We are dead to the old man, and we are alive in Christ, right? That is who you are. Once you have confessed your sins to the Lord, once you have come to that place and said, Lord, search my heart. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do that. If you're on the line or if you're here and you haven't made that confession, I encourage you to make that confession. I encourage you to be before God, because there is nothing, I can guarantee you this, there is nothing greater that you can do in life. There is nothing that will give you more fulfillment. There is nothing that will take you from image to image and glory to glory. There is nothing that will change you in a way that this can change you. I guarantee you that. I know I've walked with the Lord 20 years, and there's many who could testify that I'm not the same person. There's a lot of work that yet has to be done. I'm not denying that, but I am not the same person that God took 20 years ago and raised me up out of the grave. You know what I'm saying? And that's the same thing you want. And I'm nothing special. I'm nothing special as in I'm nothing different from each one of us. Each one of us are special in God's eyes. Each one of us are special in God's eyes. But I'm nothing special beyond anyone else in this room or anyone else in the kingdom of God or anyone else in that God has knit together in their mother's womb. So God will do that for each and every one of us, right? So again, so we're born in Christ to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Once saved, always saved. That's my, I know that some people may not agree with that theology, but I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, once saved, you're always saved. If God has sealed you in the Holy Spirit, you are sealed, you are stamped, you are delivered. And if God has delivered you from this body of death, I don't believe that there's anything. If you're truly delivered from that body of death and there's a change in who you are, there's no going back. There is no going back. You may falter. You may even, you know, backslide. You may even lose sight of everything that God has showed you. But God will leave the 99 and he will search after that one sheep. And he will continue to pursue you until he brings you back into the fold. And that is an exciting thing to remember. He wants to use each and every one of us to be those you know, sheep herders, right? For everybody, for every lost sheep that's out there. He wants us to be sheep herders for those people. He wants us to be seeking and sitting before him and realizing this, right? You who are protected by power, you who are protected by the power of God, true faith for a salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice. Do you? That's a statement, but that's a question. Do you greatly rejoice in that? Are you truly joyful about that? And you have to ask yourself, if you're not, Lord, bring me to a place where I am. Bring me to a place where I find joy once again in serving you, where I find joy again sitting at your feet, where I find joy again being used by the Holy Spirit. Lord, bring me to that place where it is great rejoicing because of my salvation, right? Even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And I love the way he puts that in. There's a little caveat there, right? Because every one of us are going to go through trials. Every one of us are going to go through things in this world, right? And we will get distressed. Today has enough trouble for itself. So seek the Holy Spirit today. Oh, you know, don't allow this message to go by. And then tomorrow, seek the Holy Spirit tomorrow. And then the next day, seek the Holy Spirit the next day. You know what I'm saying? And every day, let that be a continuous walk for us. Where we come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need to find you. I need to find you in my situation. I need to hear what you're saying in my situation. I need your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, all of that in my situation. Because there is never a day where we're not going to have some distress. There's never a day where someone is not going to rub us the wrong way. Or finances will go wrong. Or something, whatever it may be. Sickness, death, whatever it may be. But the Holy Spirit wants to be there for each and every one of those. He wants to be the comforter in each one of those situations. So, that the proof of your faith be more precious than gold. And gold being perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? How many of us are truly looking for the second coming? How many of us are really focused, are kingdom-minded, or have we become earthly-minded and forgotten that Jesus Christ is coming back? He could come today, he could come tomorrow, right? But are we desiring after that? Are we hungering after that? Are we living lives that are evident that, you know what? Even tomorrow, all that's here, all that I have amassed on this earth could be gone because Jesus will come and say, that's it. Wrap it up, you know? So although, and I'm not saying don't plan ahead. I'm not saying just, you know, abandon everything. That's not the message. What I'm saying is that don't live a life that is dependent solely on what your worldly wealth is, right? Live a life where you're seeking after the Holy Spirit. Let his wisdom show you where to save, where to spend, where to use. Because we're managers of God's money. It's not yours. The house you have, it's God's. You know, you're not taking it with you. There's no ownership papers in heaven. You know what I'm saying? There's no deeds in heaven. You know what I'm saying? But when Jesus comes, all those titles, all those deeds, they're burnt up. You know what I'm saying? And we have to start living lives that are kingdom-minded and seeking after the things. It says, seek you first, the kingdom of God, right? And everything else will be added unto you, right? Just added to you. Just added to you. But we tend to look at it the other way around. Seek after being, you know, self-sustained in this world, and then I will go and deliver the gospel message. From a place of sustenance. God is saying, no, reverse that role. Reverse that mindset. And as you reverse that mindset and as you, you know, start to focus on that and focus on the kingdom of God, God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the resources. And as those resources come in, you will know how to distribute them. Because you'll be working out of the actual wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And no longer carnally minded, but being spiritually minded, kingdom minded. And now the glory, right, will all go to God. The glory will all go to Jesus Christ, right? And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So I just want to encourage you today that as we're walking through this next week even, and everybody has taken time to stop and recognize the birth of Jesus. Well, not everybody. They're all recognizing Christmas. They may not be recognizing the birth of Jesus, right? Santa and reindeers and everything else. You know, I guess I got to be careful with where I say that. There's people online, right? I remember one year my sister was here and I kind of let that slip. So I just want to be sure I don't ruin anything right now. But anyway... So, but all joking aside, right? Seek after God. And as you seek after God, do it by sitting in his presence and saying, Lord, stir up in me. Stir up in me an excitement. Stir up in me a joy. Stir up in me a desire to know who you are. Stir up in me a desire to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in every situation I face. Stir up in me a desire to be ruled and governed by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Let the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control all be part of who I am. Let me walk in that. And let you receive all the glory. Let you receive all the praise. And that's where, and that is something that is to be joyous over today. That as we walk from here, realize that is not a work that you have to do. You just have to rest in God. God has done the work. And he will continue to do the work. We just need to rest in him. Go back and seek him. And that in itself can be hard at times, right? But God wants to sit there and even admit that to him. Just sit for him and say, ah! Lord, how do I get back to that place? How do I find you? How do I live a life that's excited about you? Ask that question, if that is the question that's in your heart. And let the Holy Spirit minister even that to you. So praise God today. Hallelujah. Spend the rest of this week preparing, we say, for Christmas and family and dinner and presents and everything else. Just keep that in your mind. Keep that in the forefront of your mind, not the background of your mind. Let that be what leads you through the rest of this week, not just the rest of this week, but let that be a springboard for next year and even for just life to come, right? That the Holy Spirit would be the one who's leading you, guiding you, directing you, and that we're sitting in the presence of God, resting in him, allowing him to minister to us and show us how to get back to that place of just being in daddy's presence. Not working, not frustrated, not trying to figure it out, but Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know how to get there, Lord. Show me. And I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit will show up in your life. The Holy Spirit will show up and start to minister truth. You will start to see it as you walk around. You will actually start to see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit's teaching as you walk. And now all of a sudden there'll be an excitement. You'll see something like, whoa, that's the Holy Spirit just said that to me. And now you'll see it. This is the excitement that God gives. He wants us to be like little children. You know when you bring a young child into a toy store? And they went, oh, well, that's how God wants us to be about the stuff that we're walking through. He wants us to have that joy. He wants us to have that excitement. Hallelujah. So we're just going to close up in prayer. The altars are open if you do desire prayer. But I just want to encourage you to seek after the Holy Spirit, even if it is just a groaning before Him. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for continuing to remind us that your heart's desire is that none would perish. Your heart's desire is that we would have a relationship with you, one that is intimate, one that was sincere, Lord, one that is joyous, one that is continuing to flourish and thrive, oh Father God. Lord God, I just ask, Lord, that during this week, you continue to just impart that to us, impart that wisdom to us. Lord, make that be forefront in our mind, that we would desire to walk in your presence. Walk after the wisdom and the unctioning and the desire of the comforter, of the advocate, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That your Holy Spirit will continue to lead us and guide us into what you have for each one of us. And that you would, even as we know, you know all of the things in each one of our lives that are already a mess, if you will, Lord, already been, that are driving us crazy, that you would start to minister to us, Lord, how it is that you are going to deal with each one, and how are you going to elevate us, and how are you going to bring us from image to image and glory to glory. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.